Hey man,
what is going on? How are you doing? Good, good, good. I hope everything is well. If you could please, please, pretty please, head on down to the show notes. Go click on them things, go to them places, like, follow, subscribe, share with a friend, interact with me, let me know what you think about the show, and let us move on.
Alright, so I, in classic Hey Man fashion, I get my mind, get my mind moving in a particular direction. And, I put my foot down and say, this is how it's gonna go for right now. And almost as instant of a thing as hitting the send button on my episode, poof, things start to come together in the brain. Right now, the things that are coming together in the brain are things that I've been thinking about for years. Okay, now my spiritual trip, okay, has obviously been a bumpy one, a twisty turny one. A word I picked up in South City, St. Louis is cattywampus, right? Not straight from point A to point B, but a little off level, a little out of alignment, cattywampus, right? Now, good thing, bad thing, it's a bad thing because it's a pain in the neck, and it is kind of one of those things where, you know, this would have been a lot easier if I could just go from point A to point B, but instead of, you know, a straight line and being all squiggly and crisscrossing over each other and stuff. That being a good thing, because I have a better understanding of why. Right? Now, part of my problem with using the word Buddhist, part of my problem in taking vows, promises, swearing by, as far as, like, I'm not an expert, okay? But in a lot of my research and spiritual trip kind of thing, I've noticed that a lot of people, as their initiation into the Buddhist philosophy, religion, lifestyle, spiritual practice, whatever word fits best here for you, is that they swear to uphold the five precepts. Right? And it's the first precept that brings about the most trouble, because you promise, you swear to uphold the precepts, and the first precept being, do not kill. No killing. Right? And also translated into, cause no suffering. Now, that part there, that first little bump, right, throws off the whole trip. Right? For me, it's the difference between calling myself Buddhist and calling myself secular, right? that became a roadblock for me because, you know, at the time when I very first got into this, I'm like, I'm not a vegetarian, dude. You know, I'm a survivalist. I'm a prepper. I've got to have meat. I've got to have a ranch, a homestead that's got lots of animals running around out there so I can kill them and I can eat them and they are food. All right. And that was my wall for the longest time. I hit that wall, I stopped. All right. And then I thought about it for a minute. I was like, all right, there's a lot of Buddhists, right? There's billions of them. How about we just pause for a minute and we go around this wall and, you know, we kind of go over here for a little bit and we check out the rest of this whole Buddhist thing and see what happens, right? And, you know, it turns out that the rest of it is pretty cool, you know? I mean, even the precepts, you know, no killing, no lying, no stealing, no sexual misconduct, no intoxicants, right? Those things, you know, they seem pretty obvious, right? I've also got, I also had a little bit of a hiccup as far as the no intoxicants thing goes, but, you know, it is an agreeable, a totally understandable, man, this has been going on all day, it's like 5-10 minutes into recording this episode, the rain comes, right? And there's this big black cloud over me, but on the other side of it is not a big black cloud. Maybe if we have a little bit of suffering here, enjoy the rain, take a moment to enjoy the sound. I'm willing to bet that on the other side of this, it's still raining a little bit, but not such a big deal. Alright. So, my major hang-up has always been being vegetarian. Alright. And if you listen to previous episodes, specifically like the last couple of episodes, I have had a weird back and forth as far as meat in my diet goes, right? Now, one of my underlying goals of life in general is making things more simple, right? Now, to take a person's diet, right, and become a raw, whole food, vegan, plant-based person, right, that you eat nothing but plants, whether it's nuts or fruits or veggies or legumes or all the different variations of green stuff that grows from the ground. Dandelions, plantain, stuff like that, right? Taking that idea as your diet, you know, it doesn't get much more simple than that, right? You walk out to the garden, you grab a tomato, you grab a couple of peppers, you grab a head of lettuce, or not even a head of lettuce, you just grab the mature leaves off of the lettuce plants, bring them inside, cut them up, throw them in a bowl, eat them. You know, you got yourself a salad. How much more simple of a thing does it need to be? All right. Well, I like to eat. I like to cook. I like to do stuff in the kitchen. Right? Now, a lot of that has to do with food or with meat. Right? And it's also been one of those underlying kind of things, I guess you could say, a promise to myself that if I could find the vegetarian / vegan / plant-based replacement for meat, then, you know, there's a much higher likelihood of me being plant-based, right? And I've also had a conversation and seen many other conversations on the differences between the three. You know, obviously vegetarian is plant-based, but you're also doing, you know, the vegetarian is no animal has to die, right? And then vegan is there are no products at all as far as animal life is concerned. No milk, no cheese, no leather, no meat, you know what I'm saying? All of it is natural and plant and the end, right? Now, the way plant-based was explained to me is that it's vegan, but you're not as much a stickler for the rules kind of thing. It's the I for a little bit of time I was trying to explain to my the people that asked that I'm not exactly Buddhist, but I'm secular, meaning that I am Buddhist, but I don't adhere strictly to all of the rules. That plant-based is vegan, the secular version of vegan. You know, there's some rules there, but they'll still wear leather boots kind of thing, you know. Having a decent pair of work boots, you're going to have leather on your feet, right? And, you know, maybe it's a halfway meeting point of, you know, I'm trying, you know, and maybe that's how I've been seeing secular all of this time, as I'm doing my best. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get it figured out for myself. If I don't, I don't. If I do, I do. Let's see what happens, right? Now, the thing that I learned about, actually, I spent quite a bit of time this afternoon listening to a lot of different people talking about a thing called seitan, S-E-I-T-A-N, right? And it has a neat little name called wheat meat, right? It's pretty much flour that's been washed, and I don't have a full grasp on how all this works, but there's some magic that takes place, and you tie it in the knots, you do some work with it, and then, you know, you cook it, you boil it in the broth, or you steam it, or something along these lines here, and in the end, whenever it's done cooking, you know, I've seen it where they flatten it out and then they cut it into strips, and it looks like, you know, chicken strips. Or they take those chicken strips and they bread it and they fry it, and they've got like little chicken fingers or chicken tenders or that kind of thing. And my head is exploding with excitement, because here it is, you know, it's this thing in my head that I enjoy food. I like cooking food. I like the different flavors and stuff like that. And a lot of vegans are like, you're just eating meat because of a flavor profile thing that you don't want the meat, you want the flavor and the texture and stuff like that. And here's this seitan thing that they're turning into, you know, chicken and pulled pork and roast beef and, you know, all this other meat stuff. And I'm like, wow, you know, maybe this is the thing, you know, maybe this is that thing that I've been working towards. I've been working on all of these other aspects of my spiritual trip and doing my best to be as vegan or plant-based as I possibly can. And now here comes this thing that looks like meat, that tastes like meat, and I haven't tried it yet, right? I'm just starting here and you know, chronicling my journey. Kind of one of the purposes of me doing this thing, you know, and, you know, trying to learn more about this and, you know, and see where it goes. And I really want to know more about this, because if it's going to be that replacement thing for meat, for the texture, for the flavor, you know, that kind of thing, then I'm all about it. You know, that it was even brought up in one of the things that I was listening to. That it's something that has been done for thousands of years. That this isn't some wild new thing that some meat-loving vegan came up with so that they could have meat and still be vegan. You know, it's something that they've been doing for thousands of years, and they even brought up Buddhist monks so that they could get, you know, that they could eat the foods that they used to eat and or get the proteins that they need and you know, try to vary up the flavor profiles and you know, work the flavor palettes and stuff like that. You know, it's exciting to me because I don't consider myself a chef by any means, but I like to cook and I like to add new ingredients to stuff. And here I am with this, you know, with this bread meat, right? And, you know, the possibility of its flavor profile being whatever it is that I want it to be. You know, I think it, the meat needs, like beef and pork and chicken, and then I asked about fish, and, The one person I've asked about it, and the one source of information I've tried to tap, it sounds like making this stuff taste like fish is adds another layer of complication. Now, whether it's worth the effort or not, I'm not sure. We're going to find out some more here later on content to come, right? But I'm really excited about this, you know, and it becoming one of those things where, you know, I guess the thing that really that started it out today was I stopped at a Walmart and I was grabbing myself something to eat for lunch. And I was in Tulsa, and right there in the freezer section, right there at the very end cap, right there, that everybody's got to walk by, is this freezer full of plant-based chicken nuggets. Right, I forget the name of the brand, but But there it is. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, to try and find the vegetarian stuff, the vegan stuff, the plant-based stuff, you know, you had to go on a bit of a search. But now here it is at my Walmart in the town that I live in. There's a one door section of plant-based foods, and you know, the rice cauliflowers and stuff like that, right? And the veggies, the veggie meats crumbles, right? I take those, and I'll cook up some macaroni noodles and throw in those veggie crumbles and a little bit of spaghetti sauce and all of these things, you know, having no meat in them, I considered it to be vegan or plant-based or whatever word you want to use here. And, you know, it's pretty good. It doesn't taste like meat, obviously, because it's not meat, but, you know, the flavors are comparable. The texture is there. You know, it just tastes like instead of it being me that cooked my traditional pasta dish, it now does not have any meat in it. Or, I don't know, instead of it being me, it's somebody else cooking their traditional pasta dish, and I am coming over to their house, and they have prepared a meal for me, and I am eating it and noticing that it is delicious, yes, but it also doesn't taste like my spaghetti. And, you know, it's this amazing door has been opened in my brain, because now here I am. I'm wanting to go gung ho with the garden, right? And how do I say? I'm wanting to go gung ho with the garden, and now here's this possibility of, you know, what am I wanting to grow in this garden, and what can I do to bring the highest amount of flavor possible to this garden, to the food that I'm going to be eating, and how intensive a thing can I be as far as growing food in my little garden? Can I do, you know, 25%? Can I do 50%? Can I do 100%? I don't know. But I'm excited to find out. You know, I want to get out, and it's motivating me to get out into my garden. Like, you know, I know I'm not going to be able to grow enough wheat in this place in order to make seitan. Right, it takes quite a bit of effort. It takes quite a bit of flour and water and all that, and you know, it is looking at it now is complicated. I'm not gonna lie, it looks really complicated. All right, but I feel like the work involved and the time spent doing these things is, for me, is going to be worth the effort, right? Now, to address the whole meat eating thing, yeah, I'm still going to consider myself an omnivore. I'm still going to consider the idea that there may come a survival situation that I'm going to have to confront the possibility of, and whenever that possibility arises, if and or that moment comes along, then, you know, I gotta do what I gotta do, and I gotta put food in my belly, I gotta put food in my kid's belly, I need to make sure that we all live. So the prepper slash survivalist in me, you know, yeah, it is possible that one day, maybe down the road, possibly, I'm gonna eat meat again, right? But as of right now, I'm getting that much closer to not. Does that make sense? Like, I soon, you know, I'm working on eliminating meat from my diet. I'm working on eliminating animal products from my diet. All right, now, like I had said before, I got some chickens, right? And for me personally, I don't really have an ethical problem with having chickens as pets or small livestock running around the yard, eating up the bugs, eating up the ticks and stuff like that. You know, you got dogs at your house that you're not going to be eating, and you consider yourself to be a vegetarian or a vegan or whatever, right? I can have chickens at my house. I can have them running around in the backyard, eating up the bugs and stuff that would necessarily be biting my kids, or the ticks that could be biting my kids. And my dogs are there making a bunch of noise outside because somebody pulled into the driveway and they're bringing my attention to it. They're like, bark, bark, bark. And loosely translated is, hey man, get out here. Somebody's out in the driveway. So I walk to the door and I look out the window and I see, oh hey, my friend is here. And I go outside, I go spend time with my friend, and then we come inside and we hang out and we watch TV or whatever happens whenever a friend comes over, right? I show him this cool new thing that I learned about called seitan. Right? And it's little stuff like that, you know, that, you know, I try to make these little leaps of understanding and possibility and say, hey man, look, you're not going to eat the chickens, right? The chickens aren't there to be food. The chickens are there to, you know, I guess for a lack of better things, call them protection for the food. They can, you know, they can run around and eat the bugs, and those bugs aren't going to be eating my crops. Cool. Thanks, chickens. And it just so happens that they lay eggs, right? There's no, you know, I tried to explain to my son that in order for a mammal to produce milk, a female mammal to produce milk, they must have given birth, right? And then the, how do I say, the situation calls for them to be milked on a regular basis so that they produce more and more milk. Well, you know, on the commercial level of all of this, you know, the farmer sees the baby cow as eating into his milk profit, right? So they almost immediately yank the baby cow away from the mom so that the mom can be, you know, a milk machine. And then sometimes the girl cow does not want to do what they got to do to make baby cows with the boy cow, So they forced the situation. And I asked my son, and I was like, you know what that means, right? And he goes, no. I was like, well, look at it this way. When a female is forced to have sex with a male, what would you call that? And he said, rape. I'm like, yes, that's a great way of putting it. Now, think of it this way. Do you think that that's a nice thing to do to any female mammal, whether it's a human or a rabbit or a cow or a goat or any type of situation like that? And, you know, he didn't answer me, but the look on his face meant everything. You know, and I'm like, you know, and trying to explain these things to myself. You know what I mean? Not completely and totally just trying to explain it to other people. You know, I don't consider what I'm doing a debate to try and talk other people into becoming vegetarian or vegan or plant-based or whatever word you want to use here. That's not why I'm doing it. That's not why I'm asking these questions. I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this to serve as a bit of an example for somebody else out there that's like me, who has the same questions as me, and maybe, you know, maybe a couple of weeks down the road, maybe a couple of months down the road, maybe a couple of years or decades down the road, somebody stumbles across my content and goes back from the beginning and says, oh man, this is pretty similar to me. I've had a lot of these questions too. Let's see where this guy goes with it. And it turns out, you know what? I said something that made them think, and you know, they're like, yeah, okay, yeah, I get what you're saying here. And you know, they make their life a better place. They make their world a better place. They don't necessarily need to save all the animals from all of the humans. Okay, I get it. For me, this is the deal. Even in the last episode, whatever, vegetarian to omnivore in one episode. In that episode, you know, even whenever I was saying those words, there was still a slight bit of guilt and or shame involved in saying those words. You know, that, you know, I get the whole aspect of the, and really, I think another one of my major problems is this whole idea of being a survivalist or being a prepper. You know, I still hold those ideas to be, you know, some pretty important stuff. But you know, now that I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, all of the stuff that it's not that it's not important at all, but the idea that, okay, well, let's hold on to the idea that, yeah, I'm a prepper, yeah, I am a survivalist, yeah, I am a person who loves to spend a great amount of time out in the outdoors and all of that, and ecological conservation and stuff like that, you know, yada, 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 right? But to come at that from a plant-based perspective, mindset kind of thing, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not seeing the content that I'm looking for it's not, you know, it's not that it's not out there, but for me, I've got to pick it up in little places here and there and be inspired by it and then create my own content so that, you know, maybe I'm also inspiring somebody else to be like, hey, you know, this Hey Man guy, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's doing it the best he can and chronicling his journey along the way kind of thing. Maybe I can do the same thing and chronicle my journey and talk to people that are like me, and my method's a little bit different than Hey Man, and, you know, and putting that perspective out there, and before you know it, there's a billion different perspectives that, you know, people are looking at and saying, okay, well, I dig what this guy here is saying, and then this guy over here has got another little twist involved, you know, and all that, and, you know, before you know it, there's all of these different perspectives, there's all of these different examples that, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, that somebody's spending all of this time confused, spending all of this time lost, you know, that, you know, they have this sense in their being that, you know, that being vegetarian is, or vegan or plant-based, whichever one, is the right philosophy for them. And I'm not trying to say that anything that I'm saying is the right way, because, you know, I don't want to pretend that I know what I'm talking about, or I know that, you know, you're doing it wrong, or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't want to say that you're wrong, all right? I want you to look at all of the different examples out in the world and choose your own path, right? I think that has a lot to do with, it brings a lot of meaning to what Buddha said about take what you like and forget the rest, right? He was explaining his path to enlightenment. Right? He is Siddhartha Gautama, the historical first Buddha, who we consider to be the originator of Buddhism. You know, like I said, the quote has been said a bazillion times that Buddha didn't teach Buddhism, Jesus didn't teach Christianity, so on and so on, right? They taught a path, right? And in that perspective, many millions of people have come since then. Billions of people, right? And they've all presented a path as well. Because you can look from generation to generation, from church to church, from temple to temple, to mosque, that, you know, the leaders in these paths, in these movements, whatever you want to call them, like in Christianity, you go to a church, there's 1,000 different things that church could be, ranging from Catholic to Lutheran to Presbyterian, the Baptist, and, you know, there's 100,000 of each one of those churches, and then from church to church, as far as the leader of the church, the preacher, the priest, the bishop, the archbishop, all of the people involved in all of these different churches and all of these different mosques and temples and ashrams and whatever, each individual one has their own individual perspective as far their philosophy goes, and the people that are in these buildings, in these groups, in these sanghas, they've all decided that their mindset, their philosophy, their beliefs are in line with the people that are the leaders of this group. You know what I mean? And because for me, and I don't know if I've said it on this podcast yet, but I kind of look at it this way. If there are 8 billion people that live on this planet, then there are 8 billion different paths. Each one of them unique. No matter how, you know, no matter how similar, you know, I can sit here right now and call myself a Buddhist, right? But my Buddhism is going to be different than the Dalai Lama. Okay? My Buddhism is going to be different than his Buddhism, because our paths are so different. Okay? Read about the history of the Dalai Lama, the 14th Dalai Lama, the latest incarnation of this Dalai Lama, right? And you will see just how different his life is compared to yours, right? And especially compared to mine. The circumstances of me coming to Buddhism are different than his. Me coming to my spiritual path is probably a different path than the one that you have traveled to this point. Okay? And that's okay. That's great. That's awesome. But there's all of these different perspectives, all of these different ideas, all of these different discussions going on. Because it's in those discussions that revelations are made. Right? And none of them have to be hard set rules or codes or laws or commandments or anything like that. It can be as simple as two people sitting down, having a conversation, talking about the things that make them who they are. The decisions that they've made up to this point and saying, hey, you know what? I don't eat meat for these reasons. And the other person saying, well, you know what? I eat meat because of these decisions that I've made, this information that I have obtained. These are reasons why I eat meat. These are reasons why I don't eat meat. And it just being a conversation. Right? I don't think this rain is going to stop. Well, there's the edge of the clouds. Oh no, I can see the wall of rain down the road. It's coming. Alright, it's about to get ugly, boys and girls, and it's been close enough to an hour. Alright. I'm pretty excited about where this is going. The rain's pretty loud. I'm going to sign off here. Go down to the show notes real quick. Click on all that stuff. Go to all those places. Like, follow, subscribe. Share with a friend. Interact with me. Tell me what you think about the show. Hey, man. You stay dry, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.